Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today is a special show because I have up in here right now two original members of the West Side Chicago group, the Mandels. So you guys want to introduce yourselves and say hi to the audience?
I'm Lorenzo Clemens. Hello, everybody.
Vernon Hammonds. Good evening.
Okay, so thanks so much for coming down. So at least for the first part of the show, if not the whole show, the Mandels will be in here telling the story of their group and talking about their history, and we'll be playing their records too. So first of all, I know I mentioned you're from the West Side of Chicago, but what specific part of Chicago are you from?
Lawndale community, 16th Street, 18th Street.
Okay. And you all went to the same high school, right?
Farragut High School.
Yeah, right. Farragut High School.
Okay, and that's the school that Gene Terrell and the Conquistadors are from, right?
Right, correct.
Yes.
So, and you probably, and Little Gene and the Januaries, who were later connected to your group.
And some of the kids also went there, too.
Yeah.
And Beverly Schaefer.
Okay.
So we, some of the Otis LaVille.
Okay, I didn't know Otis LaVille was from there.
So there were, you know,
just to name a few.
Okay, so
Kim Novak, if you want to go back to the movie side, and that was the 50s. She didn't sing except for in the movies, but she was there as well.
And you were in movies too, right? Which we'll talk about later.
Yeah. So still doing it, thank God.
So first of all, the group went through a lot of lineup changes. They got a lot of different people in the group at different times. So I thought we could first talk about who were the original members of the group. Like, how was the group formed, and around what year?
Well, basically, Bobby, myself, and Lil June kind of started it when we were in high school at Farragut.
What's Bobby's last name?
Bobby Wright.
Okay.
And
what's Lil June's real name?
Claude Johnson.
Okay.
Claude Johnson Jr., as a matter of fact.
So the group was originally formed three members, Vernon Hammonds, Bobby Hodges.
Bobby Wright.
Bobby Wright, I'm sorry, it's two Bobbies. And Claude Johnson, who's Little June. And Little June was previously in the doo-wop group Little June in the Januaries, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So was it originally formed with all three of you singing originally?
Yes. We just started to, basically between the three of us, we just started to clown around, basically. It wasn't serious. And as we progressed, we started to add people. And we started to get real serious with it. We got the influence of that from Lil June because he was from a previous group. So he kind of headed us in that direction to say, hey, we can do this for real. So we did that.
So around what year in school were you? Were you sophomores? Or?
Yeah, it was the sophomore, junior year.
Okay.
I was a little baby, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
So just the three of you were original members of the group and all three of you sang in the group?
Yes, well, at that time I was the lead singer, and Bobby was backgrounding, and so was Lil June, and Lil June and I switched between lead singing, and then we evolved by adding a couple of other people, and that's when we started to really get on it.
Okay, so I'll go forward a little bit to your first record that you cut. So eventually you cut a record called What Can You Do For Me?
Yes.
This was the first Mandels record, and it was on a label called Moneytown.
George Redman.
Yeah, a guy named George Redman, West Side Chicago guy, ran the label. So what's the story? When were you still in school when that came out, and how did you get hooked up with George Redman?
Yes, Lorenzo can tell that better, but yeah, we were still in school.
Yeah, we were, matter of fact, we were. That was around 64.
Okay.
And, you know, we were fully a group then. We were doing shows. We were doing, matter of fact, one of the teachers at Farragut hired us to do a show on the West Side. And when we did that particular show, people started noticing and we started getting more things. One of the big places, well, in terms of us at the time, we were young guys, but St. Agatha Church was their hall. A lot of the dances, we played a lot of their dances, and so it was Vernon was the lead singer then on What Can You Do For Me, and George heard us, and he wanted to meet with our parents, and we did. We all met, matter of fact, we met at my house. Vernon's mother and Mr. and Mrs. Wright and my mother, and we sat down and spoke with George, and he said he wanted to sign us to a contract and record us, And we had our own music. Matter of fact, Vernon and June, but Vernon mostly at that time, wrote a lot of the songs, and that's what we came up with. What Can You Do For Me? And also, I Just Can't Win.
Okay, so, yeah, those were the two records that George Raymond cut out Moneytown on you guys, the Just Can't Win and What Can You Do For Me.
Right.
So one thing I want to clarify right away that people might not realize is the Mandals weren't just a vocal group like most of the people I talked to. You
right.
were a band and a vocal group.
Well, we had full music backup as well. We do a complete show.
So let me ask how, first of all, we never got into how you, Lorenzo, joined the group and how that ended up where you became, like, unlike most people who were just vocal groups, how you became a band and a vocal group. Like, what happened?
Well, Vernon and Vernon, I think, when I saw Vernon and Jonathan, Jonathan Barrett was one of the drums at the time. And I knew the Wrights, and I knew Vernon, and I don't know, I guess they liked me. we started talking and playing and rehearsing together, and they brought me in.
So you already played. You said you play in a band or something? Is that?
Well, no, I joined the first professional time I played was with the Mandels.
Okay.
So I mean, I played drums in the Farragut band and that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. So you were in the high school band,
right?
And then you joined the Mandels.
I joined the Mandels.
Okay.
One of the things that drove that was the fact that when we were out performing, it was just me and the lead guitar and the singers.
Okay.
So our direction geared us toward trying to be that full package.
Okay.
So that we had our own music and we didn't have to worry about people playing behind us, and you know, we'd just all envelop our own, you know.
So you already had been doing a bunch of shows like talent shows and churches, that type of
oh,
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you tried to develop a full band, bring a full band in.
And actually we did, because it was we had Jonathan on drums, I played percussions and congas, Vernon's lead, and then we had Bobby Wright was a backup singer. Robert Hodges was a backup singer who also played piano and organ.
Okay.
We had Milton. No, Milton came later, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Milton and William came a little later, but
Ronnie Wright on bass.
Ronnie Wright on bass. And that was basically all the Milton Wright and William Wright. Those are all the members of the Mandels.
Okay. Well, let me play your first record so let's just know what we're talking about. And then we'll come back and talk some more.
Which, by the way, was
sure.
one of my favorites, because Vernon was on the lead. And that was our very first. And when you listen to it, some of the horns came from the Farragut High School band.
Yeah, that's fun. And you have very tight harmony on this,
yeah.
too. Like, impressive for a first record. So this is the Mandels with What Can You Do For Me?
Girl,
Okay, that was just the Mandels with their very first record, What Can You Do For Me? And if you're just tuning in the studio right now, we have two original members of the Mandels talking about the story of their group. So first of all, I want to ask again, so who are the people singing on that record? And was also, I'm interested in finding out who played in the band, too.
Okay, for singers, it was I was the lead singer, Vernon, Bobby Milton, and William Wright.
Okay.
Were background singers.
Okay.
And Robert Hodges as well.
Okay, and so we had talked about Claude Johnson, Little June of the Januarys. Was he in the group at the time?
He was not really like official in the group. He played on the cut. He played the rhythm section. I played lead guitar. He played the rhythm in this.
Oh, okay. So he actually is playing in the band on this. And you play guitar on the record too.
Yes.
And Lorenzo, you said that you're playing on the record too.
On the record, playing the percussions, and Jonathan Barrett is also on the drums.
Okay. So pretty much the whole backing track is the Mandels also, plus you said there was some of the Farragut band is in
there. Some of the Farragut horns, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were very good to show you how good they sound.
So did you have horns in the group at the time?
Not at that time.
So the band consisted of like drums and percussion and a did you have a bass player? You said you had a bass player?
Bass, right. Yeah.
Okay. And did you have any other instruments at the time in your band?
Not at that time.
No.
Okay.
It was basically a rhythm section.
And then where we go that Robert would play piano sometimes or organ.
Okay.
In fact, a lot of our recordings, the piano player was Robert Hodges.
Okay. So that was your very first record. Did it get play in Chicago? Do you remember?
It got a lot of play.
A lot of play.
A lot of play. Yeah. The VOE and Good Guys at the time were they liked us a lot. Butterball, Bill Butterball Crane was one of our biggest supporters, and believe it or not, a lot of people didn't realize that E. Rodney Jones also was a big supporter of ours. So.
Okay.
And Herb Kent, of course, Herb Kent.
Yeah. Okay.
Always Herb. So those three jocks, I mean, you know, and if you had a record out at that time, we got as much airplay for a local label and a local group as much as a lot of the national groups did.
And you were still in high school at the time?
Still in high school at the time.
That must have been pretty exciting.
It was very exciting. So, matter of fact, if you the Five Heartbeats story, when the guy wakes up and listens to the song being played on the radio, it's almost like our story, you know, because like, you come on the radio and there it is, you jump out of bed, that's us.
Yep.
So did you start doing more shows at the time?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we picked up quite a bit.
Okay.
We also did a series of shows at Purcell Hall. Purcell was brand new. It was over on the west side, I think off of Washington and west of Pulaski. And there was a guy by the name of Donald Clark who also went to Farragut High School.
He was with the Pharaohs, right?
And Donald Clark used to do a lot of talent shows.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think... Yeah,
no, not that Donald Clark.
He
was more like a teenage entrepreneur.
But he was involved with the Teens with Talent somehow?
Teens with Talent was the Conquistadors.
Yeah, okay.
Donald Clark had his own kind of thing. And he would do talent shows. And a lot of the groups would do shows there. We would be the house band even then.
So you play behind all the other groups?
All the acts, and then, of course, we would be the quote-unquote headlining group.
So do you remember any of the other groups you played behind or anyone who cut other records later?
The Intentions were one of the groups.
Okay.
The Kittens did a show there.
Okay.
And Coffee, I'm trying to think of their group. But it was a lot of groups that later on, Sil Johnson, I think it was one of the Johnson guys was in the show then. That was early on, and then, so that was a regular thing that we should do over there.
So all of that was while you were still in school, pretty much?
Right.
Yes.
Did you play, like, on weekends or in the summer? How did it work out?
Summer and weekends.
Summer and weekends, and later we started to even do evenings sometime, you know.
Okay.
After school. So.
And you must have practiced a lot, too. You were a whole band.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And if you were late, you got fined.
Yeah. Every week.
So then one thing that's interesting is, so you cut one more record with George Redman's Money Town label called I Just Can't Win,
right.
Which I'll play if we get a chance, if we have time. And then I guess you weren't a... I guess you don't remember it or aware of it, but he had George Redman reused the songs with two other groups.
Well, we're not surprised.
not surprised.
So he reused them with the West Side group, The Intentions, and then with a Kansas City group called The Carpets. He reused the records, but your guys' versions were definitely the first.
Well, we were first in it, and we were the original owners of the music.
And you,
so
yeah. so you wrote the songs, and you not only wrote the songs, you're playing the backing tracks too.
Vernon was the key writer and our key musician and band leader and group leader, and it was his sound, his thoughts.
Okay.
In fact, when we used to do shows, because of Vernon's voice and how he used to sing, you know, they used to always compare us to like they used to call us the Young Impressions.
Okay.
Of some of the songs, and we do a lot. In our shows, we did a lot of impression cover songs.
Okay, and so I wanted to ask about that too. So, what specifically inspired you to sing and to form the group?
Basically, what Lorenzo just said, it was the Impressions.
Okay.
There was two or three of us that were real intent on the Impressions. Bobby, because he could do
Sam Gooden,
and Robert could do Fred.
Right.
Okay.
And I could do Curtis, so we had that.
And you also, you play the guitar too.
Yeah, so we just said, hey, we can do that, and we just emulated everything they did. Anything they did, we could do.
Okay. So did you get to meet Curtis at the time? Was he around?
Never did I, met him. He didn't live far from where we rehearsed and everything. He was a West Sider also, but I never had the fortune to meet him.
Okay. Well, he definitely inspired a lot of people.
A lot of
people.
Yes.
He was a poet.
He was way before his time.
Yeah.
Extremely before his time.
Yeah.
So there's definitely more of an interesting story once we get into your post George Redman records. But I'll play one of them first, and then we could talk some more. So this record that I'm going to play was probably your biggest hit. This is Now I Know.
Yeah.
And
well, you need to know that when Vernon had left, the group kind of went through a transition. Vernon and Jonathan were the first to go to Vietnam.
Okay, so a bunch of people got drafted.
Vernon, yeah, Vernon went.
Well, I could play the record, and then we can talk about who the membership was.
Right.
So this is the Mandels with their biggest hit in Chicago, and actually their third record. This is called Now I Know.
Your face.
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. That was just the Mandels with their biggest hit in Chicago, Now I Know. And right now in the studio, we have two original members of the Mandels talking about their group and the history of the group. So, first of all, the membership or lineup, or at least who was singing, changed a little bit for that record, right?
Right.
So before I played it, you were talking a little bit about how some of the members got drafted. So what's the story?
Well, Vernon and Jonathan went in first. They went to the Army, went to Vietnam.
Okay, so you actually went overseas, too?
Yes. And okay. Then I went in next, the Air Force, and I went overseas as well.
Okay.
And then Vernon and John came back, and they're on that song. I was not on Now I Know.
So you were overseas when that song was recorded.
Right. Right.
So one thing that's interesting about the song is you had the lead on that is Junebug, right?
Yeah, Lil June.
So he had become more of an official member of the group by that record, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So then who are the people? And Vernon, you had actually become like the band leader at the
yes.
time and stopped singing on the records. Is that right?
Right. I did more or less. The transition was when Lil June. When I left, Lil June took over as lead singer so that the group could continue.
Okay.
And when I came back, I fell right into the line of, I got more into the music. I got more into the band directing and more into that aura of it. I would, at shows sometime, I would still go out and lead some songs. But basically, recording-wise, I had stopped.
So on that record that I just played, Now I Know, do you remember who all the people singing were?
All the Wrights.
The Wright brothers again, Bobby,
okay.
William, and Milton,
okay.
Robert Hodges, and Lil Jim.
Okay, so was Robert Hodges a member before?
Yes,
too?
Yes. He yes. was on the first song with us as well.
Okay.
From the very beginning.
Okay, so you had two Bobbies in the group.
Yeah, Bobby, yeah.
And then do you remember, did the band lineup change too?
Yeah, Herb was on sax.
Yeah.
And we had two drummers.
So you picked up horns by this time, is
right.
that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Herb, and they had two drummers.
Well, Willie Hayes was a drummer, and Jonathan Barrett was the other drummer.
So how did you get two drummers? That's interesting.
Because Jonathan was gone, and Willie Hayes...
Oh, so he went overseas.
Right,
yeah.
He went overseas, and then
okay.
he came back.
we found a spot for him. Mm-hmm. So, and then, as you thought about it, especially during that time, we said, you know, that'd be unique. That'd be something
okay.
different and unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
as a matter of fact, when you listen to the song Now I Know, you hear two real distinct... kinds of beats, patterns
yeah.
on it.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I had noticed before, but I didn't know if it was an effect or what was going on.
No, it was actually two drummers.
So did you actually do shows with two drummers?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And yeah. Willie Hayes later on started playing with a group called Big Twist and the Mellow Fellows.
Okay. And then, so you said you had a saxophone player. Did you have other horns on that too? Maybe
not main group then. Later
okay.
on, we added some different horns.
Yeah.
And then the strings, you said, were arranged by Joe Savage.
Joe Savage. Right.
Okay. And he ended up doing most of the strings on all the Trans World Sound stuff,
just
right?
Just about all of them, yes.
And one thing that you were talking about, how the little string riff was stolen
yeah.
from a TV show?
Yeah, there was a TV show called Sugarfoot.
Okay.
It had that little riff in it, and we used that.
Okay.
That's something I just found out.
Yeah, that's where it came from.
So you actually, you were telling me that you wrote that song, is that right?
Yeah, June and I.
But you also, you said you arranged it, too.
Yeah.
So did you have any formal musical training, or how did you go about doing that?
No, it was self-taught. Just, you know, I would anything I heard, I could play.
Okay.
Then I had a little vision with music, a little foresight, and... it just all worked, you know. Back in that day, it just all worked.
Okay, and then that record was probably your biggest hit in Chicago, right? So you remember it getting a lot of play.
It got national play too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was contracted out to Hourglass.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like a New York label, right? Yeah, they picked it up.
Yeah.
So. Well, I'll play. We definitely have a lot more to talk about, but I'll play your next record. Well, actually, one thing I wanted to ask you about was you told me that after the Moneytown stuff, you were actually in a talent show. Is that right?
Yeah.
yeah,
we were.
What's the story behind that?
We did a show at the Regal.
Okay.
At the Regal Theater, and it was a talent show, and we only had the two Money Town songs, and they got played, but we really weren't what you call a professional. We weren't playing the actual main stage, the Regal, or clubs like that. We were doing social clubs and small parties and birthday parties. So we decided to enter this contest, and girls were screaming and jumping up and down and having fun, and we thought that we were the winners.
Okay.
And there was a group on there called the Stair Steps.
Okay.
And of course they won because they're, you know, they were young and very exciting, and they were, you know, before Michael Jackson and his brothers.
Yeah.
So we were told that we were great. We were outstanding, but we couldn't win because we were professionals.
Okay.
So a little bit of a heartbreaker.
Yeah, Purvis Spann came back there and told us in the dressing room that we were real good, but we were disqualified because we were professional.
Mm. Yeah, you must have been that's devastating.
Yeah, that was a blow.
And so that was actually, you were telling me that's the talent show that the Five Stair Steps got their recording contract from, or
I don't know if they got a recording contract, but they were very noticed. They got noticed then.
Yeah, they hadn't cut a record before then. The Stair Steps had.
They were supposedly it was a contract offered from that show.
From the show, that's right. That's
okay.
Right. That was the thing. That you would get a recording. If you won, you got a recording.
Yeah, so it was. It was like the prize of the...
Exactly.
And Steph did the... And what made them get over, really, they used to do... They did the cover of Ooh Baby Baby, Smokey Robinson's song.
Yeah.
And the way they did it, I mean, everybody was... I mean, they were talented, let's just face it.
Yeah, that's how they ended up getting signed to Curtis Mayfield's label.
Curtis, right.
Well, he was originally on Windy Sea, was the label.
Yeah, I think so.
And it says on the back of their first LP how they won in a talent show or something.
That was it.
So you could have been the first artist on Curtis label too, but you unfairly disqualified.
Yeah.
Too bad. So let me play. There's definitely more to talk about, and definitely an interesting story about the actual record label you were on. But let me play your next record, and then we can talk some more. And before I play the record, if anyone has any questions or comments, you can call up here. The number is 773-702-8424. And it's actually kind of bad timing during the interview, but it's also our pledge drive is for the next 2 weeks. So if you want to call up now and pledge, you can. But next week I'll be doing all the show for all pledges, so you could also do it next week. Again, the number is 773-702-8424. So this next record is the Mandels with another one of their big hits. This is Think Back.
Long, long
Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. That was just the Mandels with Think Back. Right here in the studio now, we have two original members of the Mandels talking about their group. So that was probably another one of your guys' biggest hits.
Yes, it was.
And the lineup is pretty much, is it almost the same as on Now I Know?
Yes, it is the same.
Okay, so it's the same people, and Jude Bug is also singing lead on that record.
Yeah.
So one thing I have to ask about it that's interesting, it's kind of unique. I mean, a lot of groups were on independent labels, but pretty much a label was formed to put out your group. Is that right?
Right.
Yes.
So your first couple records were on a label called Moneytown, which kind of an independent entrepreneur formed. But then you guys, or people associated with you guys, actually formed a label called Trans World Sound.
Right.
In order to put out your records.
Right.
So what's the story behind that? If you could talk a little bit about it.
Well, basically, that was again the same picture as I said with the band and the group.
Okay.
It would be all self-contained. It's our label, it's our band, it's our group.
Okay.
It's totally up.
Okay.
So there's no middle people, there's no shyster.
Okay.
There's no
middleman ripping you off.
Yeah. So
okay.
It made for a good relationship there.
So then the people that actually, like, were the official label owners, I guess, were the label was called Trans World Sound, but it was really named after
TWS.
The three initials of the label
Tom
owners.
Tom, right? Wilbert, and Sylvester.
Yeah. So I know Wilbert is Wilbert Johnson, who's Claude Johnson, Junebug's brother.
Right. They were in a group together.
Yeah, Wilbert sang in Little June in the Januaries, right? And I know Sylvester is Sylvester Richardson, who was also in Little June in the Januaries,
right?
And the T was a Tom. Do you remember Tom's last name?
I can't remember. Tom Smith. Okay. But wasn't he in the January's at one time too?
I don't know.
Okay.
So they were all kind of like family, or lived in your neighborhood, and
family and friends.
Okay, so you don't know how they got the idea to kind of form the label.
Well, they used to work together. I think Tom and Wilbur worked together for the CTA at the time.
Okay.
And then I guess they talked about the group.
Okay.
The group was, and then everybody then sat down and talked about, okay, we could do this. Just like everybody else.
Right, because Wilbur lived in the building where we rehearsed all the time. So he listened to us weekly.
So that's another interesting story. Is there's an address on the label, of all labels. I think it's
4104 West Wilcox.
Yeah. So that West Side address, that was Wilbur's house.
Right.
Is that right?
That was Johnson's household.
Did Claude live there too? Okay, so that was the Johnson's house, and that became your main practice space.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
So what was interesting about it, I guess it became kind of a central point for the neighborhood, like in terms of music, where you guys would practice, and a lot of people would hang out, and a lot of people
would come over. A lot of kids would come over. I run into people now who are grown adults who say, well, man, as a kid, I used to remember standing outside the basement, and we would let them come down, too. You know, we'd let them come down and watch us and listen to us.
Yeah, some nights we had to have, by me running everything, I would make it strict sometime, because were you preparing for a show or something?
So he was strict.
Okay. We had to make it private so that we could focus on our business, But other nights, door wide open.
Okay.
One of the things that I would like to talk about also, too, just to mention, we got along real well.
Okay.
I mean, that's one. We really thought of ourselves really as a family, and we were. I mean, we'd have our little disagreements with about something, a song, but it was never anything that we could not work out.
Okay.
And then at that point too, Vernon and myself, we were responsible for a lot of the bookings at that time.
Okay.
And Vernon kind of gave the direction of the group and said, hey, this is where we're going and this is how we're going to practice. And if you didn't come down on time, or you got fined.
Okay.
You had to pay it.
So then that house that the Johnsons owned, did they always own it? Did they bought it while you were in the group? They moved there at the time?
They were always there.
It was always there.
Oh, okay. So even when you were in high school, they lived there.
Yep.
But it became like your central kind of practicing spot after Junebug joined, pretty much.
Right.
Okay.
We also practice other places. Like, we used to practice at, when I got out of service, we practiced at my apartment on 19th and Hamlin. We used to practice at Vernon's house.
Okay.
So we moved it around so it would be, just to get a feel for something different.
Okay, but you, like, definitely a bunch of people came through that house. Like, there's a couple groups, which hopefully we'll have time to play in the show, but there's a girl group called The Attractions,
yes.
And a male group called The Unknowns.
Right. Yeah.
So they all kind of came out of that house. They just hung out there, something like
right.
that. Is that,
yeah.
is that right.
right? And they were on the Transworld Sound label.
Yeah. So pretty much at that time, you guys were done with school, and you had gone to the service and come back.
Right.
So you guys got jobs and were doing music thing like at night pretty much. Is that how it was working?
Well, we were getting booked at all the clubs.
Okay.
On the west side there was a Kima's Club, and we had a one night a month. We used to do a show with other artists because we played behind other artists too at the Purcell Hall. I mean, the Purcell Hall at the Safari Room, which is on the west side.
Okay.
And we played all the south side clubs like the Sunset Ballroom, the Green Bunny, High Chaparral. The Sheba, the Lisa. So we played most of the venues.
And
Bill Street, Skyway, and Guys and Dolls.
And at the shows you did, were you also the band behind the other people playing? Is
well,
that right?
Usually when we got booked for those shows, we would be on the bill by ourselves.
Okay.
Because we were a complete act. So they wouldn't necessarily have to book anybody else with us because we would put on a complete show.
So did you produce the shows too, or did someone else book them?
No, we produced them.
Okay.
As well,
so then and how did your shows go? You were telling me before that there were because there was both a vocal group and a band. You had two separate sections to the show. Is that right?
Yeah, we would. Sometimes we would start out where we'd have the band come out and play, you know, three or four numbers, and then we'd introduce the group. The group would come out, and then the band would come back, and then we'd all come together. Just made a complete show out of it so that people got their money's worth.
So what kind of stuff did the band do when the band played before the group came out?
Everything.
Everything. Shaft and...
okay.
Well, Shaft, Chicago. Watts 103rd Street.
Yeah.
We had our own stuff that we played. We played a lot of James Brown cover.
Okay.
You know, and we would sing, because I would sing some of the songs. Ray would sing some of the songs and some of the cover songs.
But it would be like not vocal, it would be like James Brown type singing, right?
Right.
And then the group would come out after that.
Right.
Okay.
And we had a show already lined up. That was part of our rehearsal to line up the show for that particular location.
Okay.
That we were going to do, because it varied at locations.
Okay.
We tried never to repeat the same show.
Were you regulars at any club? I think you mentioned one of them.
We had a couple of clubs that we were at more than most. We spent a lot of time at Barber's Peppermint Lounge on the west side.
Okay.
St. Agatha.
Purcell Hall early on. And then in terms of the clubs, Lonnie Skyway's line. Lonnie was a nice guy. He used to always book us.
Okay.
Whenever he had open dates.
Where was that club?
That was on 75th Street right off the Dan Ryan Expressway.
Okay.
A small club, small stage, but he liked us. And then one of the things that we used to do, because of a couple of the DJs at WVON at the time, we would, after we finished a show, if we did a show, we did shows for social clubs too.
Okay.
If we finished doing a social club, we hear like one of the DJs was on the radio, and they said, "We're live from the Texas Lady," or "We're live from the High Chaper." We would take our whole band and everybody and go and do a free show.
Okay.
For the DJs, because they were nice to us, and they said, it surprised a lot of people, because the guys would be on the radio saying, "Oh, the Mandels are here," and they got the whole review, and so that kind of helped us too, because we didn't mind.
Okay, well, I got more questions, but let's play a little bit more music before we talk some more. This is another. So first of all, you guys cut a lot of records on Transworld Sound.
Yeah, yeah,
so this is another one of your records. If anyone has any questions, you can call it. The number is 773-702-8424. This is the Mandels with All or Nothing. Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. That was just the Mandels with All or Nothing. Right now in the studio we have two members of the Mandels talking about their group. So singing lead on that record again was Junebug, Little June, Claude Johnson. And pretty much on all the Trans World stuff, it's either him or Robert Hodges singing lead, which hopefully we'll have time to play another record by him. With him singing on lead, sorry. And you were telling me you still even had the two drummers on that record, is that right?
Yeah, and Ronnie Wright was on bass.
Okay, and were all the horns pretty much all? It was all the Mandels at the time. So the only thing that was added was the strings.
Yeah, we had another Robert. I can't think of Robert's last name. He played trumpet.
Okay.
Matter of fact, on the pictures that I gave you recently.
Okay.
The trumpet player, that was Robert. He was in Maywood, the last I heard.
Okay.
And then we had another guy by the name of Larry who played trumpet for a period of time as well.
So, okay.
For the most part, that's the whole group.
Okay, so did you go through a lot of changes with the band, or how did you find most of the band members?
Well, basically the band stayed basically the same.
Okay.
We had trumpet players come and go. We always kept a trumpet player.
Okay.
And then one period of time, we had trombone player, and a couple of saxophone players. So it was, we just kind of went through a basic transition.
Yep.
But the main group stayed the same.
Yeah, we tried to add, at times we tried to add in order to increase that the sound of the band, and sometimes it worked, and sometimes the people didn't work.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We made the...
But the core people pretty much stayed the same.
Yeah, the core was always basically the same.
Because we also morphed as a band. We were band only. We morphed into a group called Fearless Fly for a couple of years.
Okay.
That we played behind we played behind Garland Green. We traveled with Garland.
Okay.
And we played behind Jackie Ross and a few other people.
Do you remember when that was?
That had to be late 70s.
Okay.
Late 70s.
So, but even while you were together as a band, didn't you played behind some other people, right? That you were talking about the Love Lights before?
Right, I played behind Love Lights. Matter of fact, we traveled with the Love Lights. We played behind the Sequence.
Okay.
When we did the shows at the Safari Room, we would be the house band, but sometimes they would have other shows where the other headliners come in, and we would be the house band. We would do a kind of a set, but basically we would play behind the other headliners coming in. Jackie Ross was one of them, and the Sequence was one of the groups that came by. Garland Green. Matter of fact, we did a show with Garland Green, also with Tyrone Davis.
Okay.
And then we did a show with the show with the Love Lights. We went to Milwaukee, and we were on the show with Jackie Wilson.
So with the Love Lights, did you knew them pretty much from the shows you did, or did they come through the house too, or?
They came to the house, but we also did. But we were asked to play behind them.
So you actually went touring with them. You said you went to Milwaukee,
right?
Okay.
Went to Wisconsin, and we toured with them early on.
And do you actually play on any other records by other people?
We are on Sunday Williams. That's What You Want.
Okay.
We played behind her, and I'm just trying to remember because I know we also played behind Daryl Fletcher.
Okay. On record.
On record.
Okay.
And then we played behind. I'm trying to think of somebody else we played behind, but we mostly did live performances with some of these people.
Okay. Well, one thing that's interesting is there were a couple groups besides the Mandels that were released on the Trans World Sound label. And like we were talking before, I guess they were all groups that sort of came through the house and
right.
from the neighborhood.
Right.
So one of the groups was a girl group called The Attractions.
Yes.
So they released a record. They covered your song, Think Back. And then they did a song, which Cy Richardson was saying he wrote the You Don't Know Boy.
Yeah, that was their biggest song, and they mentioned Think Back and You Don't Know Boy too, by the way.
Yeah. So what's the story with them? Do you remember any of the names of them?
I don't remember any of the names of the ladies, but I know we played behind them a couple of times too. They did a Trans World Sound Review a couple of times.
Okay, were they from your neighborhood pretty much?
I really don't know the whole background of the girls. I know they were from the West Side.
Yeah, a few of them were from the neighborhood.
Right.
Okay, well, I will play the record and then come back. Do you prefer either of the sides?
You Don't Know Boy is the best one.
Okay, cool. So I'll play You Don't Know Boy.
And I didn't do Think Back very well. Oops, did I say that? There was only one good Think Back. That was the Mandels.
Okay. One thing I want to mention is I mentioned Cy Richardson, who wrote this record. And someone had given me his phone number, I was on the phone, and he was like, "Do you know who I am?" And I'm like, "No." Like, who does this guy think he is? And then it turns out he's a pretty famous actor now. Like, yeah. I looked him up, and he was instantly recognizable. So
yeah.
Everyone should look him up. So
yeah, they should look me up, because I'm a pretty famous actor now too.
We'll get into that if you're not on YouTube. So. Yeah. So this is The Attractions with You Don't Know Boy. Okay, that was just The Attractions with You Don't Know Boy, and right now I have two members of the Mandels talking about their music and related music, like that group The Attractions. So we were saying that we weren't sure the names of the group members, but that I'm pretty sure there were four members in the group, just because that was there were four girls in the photo.
Four girls.
You know, I remember, it's nothing you asked me, when in our Moneytown days, George Redman did have us play behind one other person, Ruby Stackhouse.
Oh, okay, who became Ruby Andrews.
Andrews, right. This is after Casanova.
I think it was before Casanova.
It might have been before Casanova. It was a song I can't think of. You just it was something like that with a fluted and everything. It was a nice song,
but it wasn't released.
It wasn't released.
I know her very first record, she did release one record under Ruby Stackhouse. It was called Wishing.
Right.
But I know the group on that is singing is the Vondels, actually the Rel Simons first group. But your thing was probably before that, even.
Right? Because we George Redmond, she had an association. I think George was going to try to produce her.
Okay, well, he missed out.
Yeah.
So the record we just played was one of the kind of associated groups called The Attractions, and that was called You Don't Know Boy. And then another group, which we also put out on the Transworld Sound label, was a group called The Unknowns. So do you know the story behind these guys?
They were local. They went to Farragut High School.
Okay.
They were later. They were after us.
Okay.
Maybe a year, couple of years behind us.
Okay.
But and I know some of them used to live around 21st Street or Cullerton or
okay.
that part of the West Side off Pulaski.
Okay.
And see, one of the things with those groups is again going back to trying to develop our own. You know, you have your own label, so now you're going to try to produce groups to add to your depth.
Okay.
And other groups in there as well.
And we also, Trans World Sound also had a gospel group.
Yeah, it was called Gospel World Sound.
Gospel World Sound, right. So.
But, yeah, I know one thing that's very difficult with an independent label is just getting promotion, especially national
exactly.
promotion, because, you know, there were a few companies that had the money to push records and get the DJs to play it. So,
and that was the thing. You know, we had good relationship with the jocks in the Chicagoland area. Jim Rags used to be one of our biggest supporters. He would play our music because for a while Jim Rags was up in WNOV in Milwaukee.
Okay.
So we went up there to do shows with him, and he played. He was a big time supporter of our music. So, you know, it, honestly, we were slightly ahead of our time in a sense because. Our music and the way we played and what we did was a lot of groups kind of came after us and kind of emulated some of that and then you know, but we didn't have like the Chess or the Checkers or the VJs or labels like that. We, you know, we're independent, but we got a lot of airplay, so we can't complain about that.
Yeah, I guess part of the issue was you were able to get local airplay, but then once you wanted national you needed
different.
The money,
right? Right.
You didn't have the money for that.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess I want to play this record. Vernon, a long time ago you told me some story about the name of this group, The Unknowns, but how they got their name. You don't remember? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I think you were, maybe it was Wilbert, I don't remember, but he said something about how they didn't have a name and Herb Kent had a naming contest. Does that sound familiar at all?
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember that.
Maybe Wilbur said that.
Yeah, Wilbur might have told you that, because I don't know.
Okay.
Well, everything, you know, one thing about years passing, anything become legend.
yeah, we could say anything. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess unless we can get in contact with some of them, and
yeah.
I've talked
right.
to them too.
Right.
So, but this is an excellent record, and you guys play on this record,
right.
is
yes.
that right?
Yeah.
So, and did you write this record, or you don't? Do you know who
no,
wrote
I think
this record?
I think they wrote it.
They wrote it themselves.
Oh yeah, I think I know. It's on the label. It says The Unknowns as the writer credit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if anyone has any questions, you can call the number 773-702-8424, and this is The Unknowns, and this track is called Please Don't Go. Okay, that was just a group called The Unknowns, and that track was called Please Don't Go. So right now I have up in the studio two members of the Mandels who played on that record, talking about their music. So one thing I don't know if I asked you is, did you ever do any national tours?
No, we had one national tour that we were signed up to do, and it was with the Lovelights. And Patty got hurt, and we weren't able to take care of it. It got canceled.
Where were you supposed to have gone?
It was in the South. I remember it was a 6-state tour in the South.
Okay.
And Patty and the Lovelights had her jaw broken, and so she was unable to sing. And that was the other half. It was going to be the Mandels and the Lovelights.
Okay.
As a package.
So probably sometime in the early 70s that was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I guess how long did the group stay together? I know one thing that's interesting is Claude Johnson cut a couple of like blues records on the label as Claude and Brotherhood.
Yeah, that was after us. We were, by that time, we were Fearless Fly.
Okay.
We were basically more the band.
Okay.
That's what we played behind other people. We were playing behind, you know, some of the other folks. And we're supposed to, actually, Garland wanted us to travel with him at one time.
Okay.
And we were, you know, just, and by the time everybody was in school and working and doing things, and so, you know, just to say, well, we're going to go on a national tour, unless it was something really legitimate that was going to pay some money, it wasn't something that we could just drop.
Okay.
And just go on the tour with. But we did a lot of weekend tours. Like, you know, we'd go down to Southern Illinois, we'd go different Indiana, Southern Indiana. We did Indianapolis and Wisconsin. So we played around the Midwest a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but pretty much the band part of the group stayed together, and the vocal group kind of either folded into the band or the people.
Right.
The vocal group left. Okay.
Just kind of waned away there for a bit.
Okay.
Everybody kind of went their own. You know, we had families. Families were making sacrifices in order for us to continue doing what we were doing. And you know, sometimes that doesn't play well. So,
okay.
You know, various things happen,
right.
and you know, there you go. So.
So then, eventually, the group sort of drifted apart. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think one of the big kickers was when Lil Jon was killed. That just. I know that knocked the wind out of my sails.
Yeah.
I don't know about anyone else. But
that happened around 75, is that right?
That was later than that, I believe.
I thought it was later.
It might have been a little later than that. But
you're pretty close.
You're close, yeah.
Okay. So definitely you managed to put out a lot of excellent music the time you were together.
Oh, yeah.
And probably some of the records could have been bigger hits had... you had sort of the push of a national
backing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Our musicianship was very sound. The vocals were very sound, and the harmonies, as people can hear on the songs that you played, everything was very tight. And we put on a good show. We were, you know, we looked good on stage. We even had routines that were amusing. Vern came up with a thing one time that we were at one club, and everybody played a different instrument, and we came out. And we played, but you played just enough to sound okay.
Okay.
And so, it was like people heard the record, but we'd come out and say, okay, let's play. We hit it. Vernon said, let's hit it. And we'd hit it, and maybe I'd be on the guitar, and somebody else would be on the trumpet, and we just sounded awful.
Okay.
And Vernon said, wait a minute, something's wrong here. What's the problem? And he said, oh, I see what's wrong. You go over here, you go over there, and then all of a sudden we go, bam! And then we just hit it. It was just a wonderful gimmick, and people loved it, you know. And because at first, you know, they were sitting there like, these are the guys that we had the record from, you know, and they sound like this.
It was kind of a shock to them because they didn't know how to take it. They didn't know if we actually messed up,
okay,
you know, or if it was a routine.
Okay.
They didn't know. It's just, you know, because one of the things I stressed was you don't play anything that you can play. Period. You know, if you know how to play it a little bit, like I could play bass, so I made sure I didn't pick up a bass, but I could do nothing with a trumpet.
Okay.
So I picked up a trumpet, and if I can even blow wind out of it, that's good.
Okay.
So we, but the gimmick, it was a routine, you know, and that was some of our, you know, quality back in that day. We could come up with things, and
we were self-contained.
Kept people entertained, and as Lorenzo said, we were self-contained.
Yeah, I'm going to play now one of the records that you said Robert Hodges actually sings on.
Right. And he also, there's some songs on there that you hear the piano and the organs in some of the songs, and that was also Robert as well.
Okay. So multi-talented guy.
Yeah, he was very...
Is he still around?
No, he died.
He passed away as well.
Okay, so...
Matter of fact, June is gone, Robert is gone, and Milton is gone.
Okay. But the other Wright brothers are still around?
I believe so.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll play... this track is called Don't Make a Mistake. Mm-hmm. And we can talk a little bit more after that. So this is the Mandels with Don't Make a Mistake. The number here for questions is 773-702-8424. Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. That was just the Mandels with Don't Make a Mistake. And as we were just saying, that song had Robert Hodges singing lead instead of Claude Johnson, who's on most of the records. So one thing I didn't ask about was you guys did a cover of Mac Davis' song.
Baby, don't give up on me.
So what's the story with that?
You know, I think we were doing that show up on the north side. You remember when we did some shows up on the north side?
Yeah, we did quite a few of them.
And, you know, we used to always have some kind of song in our repertoire that was like pop, general public.
Okay.
And that was the kind of like the pop, general public kind of thing. And June, Robert, and Bobby Wright were the voices in that one.
Okay.
It was the Mac Davis cover.
Okay.
I guess Wilbur and Lewis, I think they liked it.
Okay.
You know, it was one of those kind of songs, you know, okay, we'll do it.
Yeah, we just pushed it over.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're in a session and we did it.
And then another thing I wanted to ask you was, one thing that's interesting is your records have part twos, and on one of them it has a part two and three on the flip.
Right.
But it's not really, it's not just the instrumental of the song, and nor is it just a vocal continuation of the song. It was like, you, Lorenzo, you were telling me before, it was kind of like the band kept on jamming.
Well, yeah. we go to a recording studio. We would just play stuff sometimes just to warm up.
Okay.
And matter of fact, that particular song was something that we used to fool around with. At rehearsals,
yeah.
And so I guess people, people liked it, and then we said, okay, well, we might as well record it, and that's how that kind of, it was almost like the psychedelic era kind of a thing, and that's how it came about.
Yeah, you're talking about the song "I Can't Forget."
I Can't Forget.
Yeah, it definitely kind of has a psychedelic
and
sound with all the reverb.
We just kept playing, and Verna was fooling around with the wah-wah. They called it the wah-wah then, didn't they?
Yeah.
The wah-wah. And, so we were always also thinking of different things that we can play and sound, different sounds we come up with. And we'd be at rehearsal doing things. I mean, we had some, actually some of our better shows were our rehearsals.
Okay.
Because we would just, we would entertain ourselves and really work hard at it. So.
Okay. Yeah, it must have been cool, especially when you were practicing in the house, people from the neighborhood coming by checking
out.
All
the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
That was all the time.
Well, I'll play one more record, and then we can talk about sort of what you're doing now after that.
All right. Okay.
So this song is one of the songs where you kind of get funkier in the sound. This is called There Will Be Tears.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay. And if anyone has any questions, you can call up 773-702-8424. Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You've been listening to an interview with the Mandels. That track was just called There Will Be Tears. So, and if you're just tuning in the studio right now is Vernon Hammons and Lorenzo Clemens, original members of the Mandels. So I guess I want to ask, first of all, are any of you still involved with music?
Well, kind of, with me, a couple of things, but it's I used to do plays, and I did a couple of musical plays.
Okay. When was that?
This was early 80s.
Okay.
Mid 80s.
Okay.
And so Goodman Theater, Victory Garden, local.
Okay. And Vernon,
and myself, no, I'm not into music now. I got really involved in computers and the telephony industry. So that's what I do now.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Don't pick it up. So,
well, that's nice to get calls.
It's not supposed to be ringing when we're on the air, but anyways.
But that's okay.
It's
my mother probably calling.
Sorry about this. So what are you guys doing now, actually? You just mentioned that you're involved with
computers. Now I'm the director of field operations for Highwire Networks, a telephony organization.
Okay.
That's what I do now.
And Lorenzo, you're involved with a few things, right?
Yeah, I'm a director of intergovernmental community affairs at the Cook County Sheriff's Office, but I'm also a part-time actor.
Okay.
And I appeared in Barbershop, U.S. Marshals, a few TV shows, like Turks, an early edition. And currently I've got a commercial right now with Sears. So I'm seeing on TV with Sears all over the place.
That's funny. So I haven't seen your Sears.
It's been funny. It's been really good.
what part do you play in Barbershop?
I'm the bank manager. I tell Ice Cube that if you don't pay the taxes, you're going to lose the shop. And then U.S. Marshals, I'm the cigar store that Wesley Snipes comes to get the money in. And try to get out of the country.
That's cool.
Yeah, so the thing's been good. I've done about 40 movies and TV shows. Matter of fact, people can go to www.imdb, International Movie Database, and put in actor Lorenzo Clemens, and it'll list all my movie credits.
Yeah, and there you can also look up Cy Richardson, right?
Right, you can look up Cy Richardson on the website, too. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So thanks so much for coming down. And if anyone has any questions, you can call up 773-702-8424. This next record is the second record you released on the Moneytown label. This is called I Can't Win.